As we are joined by State Senator Steve Swazinski, who represents portions of Minnetonka, Eden Prairie, and I believe a little bit of Chanhassen, as he is a DFL member of the State Senate, as he joins us now on the show to talk a little bit about what's going on at the legislature with the end of session. Senator Swazinski, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks, Brad. It's always a pleasure. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, I know it's always a busy time at the end of session, so do appreciate it. And I guess we'll start off right there. I've always been curious about this. What's it like at the end of session? Because I just get the picture in my head that it's everyone scrambling, trying to get bills passed at the last second. But what is that process actually like, as you've had a chance to go through this now a couple of times, the end of session?
Yeah. Well, this year is so different because there's no one here. And usually at the end of session, there's constituents and lobbyists and school groups, and you walk out of the Senate chambers and it's loud and the energy is electrifying. And like I said, there's, you know, hundreds of third graders and seventh graders running around, and now it's just quiet. It's surreal. There's a fence around the Capitol. You have to get only the press is allowed in. In fact, just today, I probably saw, I don't know, 8 members of the press interviewing Gazelka, and that was the most number of press I've seen in the Capitol this session. So that's different this year. But generally speaking, yeah, if you're not on a conference committee, and I'm not, a lot of the stuff's kind of going on in conference committees right now. We met on the floor today for maybe an hour, which has pretty much been the norm now for a week or two. And conference committees are in a holding pattern where some conference committees aren't even meeting, and yet they're supposed to be meeting because the deadline's coming up on Monday to get all the omnibus bills passed. But if you're not in a leadership position, there's a lot of hurry up and wait is going on these days. But it's just different this year. Many people are voting remotely, and it just doesn't have the buzz that it had in my first four sessions. So,
and I bet that's got to be a little different for you as well, especially being a former government teacher and someone who's been very passionate about getting involved in politics. I'm sure you can't wait to actually have people back in the Capitol where you can have the general public head in and talk to their senators or their representatives. Hopefully we get to that point soon, because I'm sure the energy is a lot different, especially for you, being that I know you have such a passion for government.
Everything you just said, but just like shaking people's hands have kind of just started kicking in the last couple of days. People are, I guess just today, the CDC eased up on mask wearing. So a few of the members, when the announcement was read, threw their masks up into the air like it was a high school commencement ceremony. It was kind of cute. I don't know if the media will pick up on that or not, but it was pretty celebratory mood in after session today on the floor. And the House hasn't even been in person on the floor. So we've had the entire Capitol to ourselves as a Senate. It's been a fascinating year.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And that was probably fun. With people throwing their masks in the air. Hopefully we get more good news in regards to the pandemic. Hey, do you want to talk a little bit?
I hope so too as well. As you've pointed out in your show, we were the only divided legislature in the nation right now at a 50 states. And so it's it's a wonderful opportunity to show the world Minnesota can do it. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think at this point we could use some positive news coming out of state legislatures from around the country, especially as we see so many of these voter restriction bills being passed, especially in red states. Yeah, maybe in Minnesota we can be a shining example showing that, hey, you know, we got a DFL-controlled House, Republican-controlled Senate, came together and came across and were able to put together a budget for the next couple of years. I think that would be a very positive sign, not just for Minnesota, but for the entire country, because I can't remember a time. I at least thought back in 2004 during my first foray into politics, that was the most divided the country has ever been. But that's nothing compared to what we've seen for the past few years.
I hope the pendulum has swung as far as it's going to swing.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, do want to talk some policy with you, because in the Republican-controlled Senate, which of course you are a part of, they did recently pass having voter IDs required, of course, to be able to vote. you would need to have a photo ID. Now, of course, it's unlikely to go anywhere, being that the DFL does control the state House of Representatives, and obviously, almost 10 years ago, voters rejected a constitutional amendment for voter ID, but you had a pretty powerful story that you were able to share in terms of why voter ID really could disenfranchise a lot of people, as you were talking about some personal experience, how when you first came to, I believe it was Minneapolis, you would not have been able to vote if that voter ID law had been in place.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, you know, every time Steve Simon, Secretary of State, gives a speech about anything about voting, and he says 80% of Minnesotans voted in 2020, I always want to remind him it was 79.96%. And I just want to, I want to get that number up. And so I don't want to round up. I just want to get it to 80% for real. And, you know, people are, there was no fraud. There was no, I don't know why people are so want to start restricting a fundamental right. You know, it's in the Constitution. And people were comparing that, you know, I need a photo ID to get a fishing license and a wedding license. And, well, none of those things are mentioned in the Constitution, but the fundamental right to vote is, and we shouldn't be restricting that right to vote. And so the example I gave on the floor was when I first moved to Minneapolis, it was 1978, that fall. And I didn't have a driver's license at the time, and I was living at the YMCA in 1978, and I didn't have any bills, so I had no canceled, you know, electric bills or any mail coming to my house. And so I was discouraged that I was not going to be able to vote. And then I found out through a fellow person that was kind of living downtown Minneapolis, about four blocks south of there, and we kind of became good friends. And he told me that in Minnesota, if you can find a registered voter, they can vouch for you at the polls. And he did. And we went and voted together. And he said, yep, I am. He lives where he says he lives, and I'll vouch for it. And sure enough, I was able to vote in 1978 without any identification. And I've been grateful for that ever since. And I just take pride in being a Minnesotan and living in a state that we want people to vote. And we're going to make it as easy as possible. And for every time I hear somebody say, well, you know, what's wrong with a photo ID? I mean, why not? And I'll go back to 1978 and me not being able to vote if it was required. And the elderly people that their driver's licenses, they haven't driven in 10 years and, you know, they don't have a license anymore. And I know the bill said that you'll be able to get a photo ID at state expense if you don't have one. Well, in my example, I don't know. I mean, it's not like you'd get them that day on the spot. It would take weeks, if not months, to get a photo ID, and I wouldn't have been able to vote in 1978 had that been the case. So I love this state, and I love how easy it is to vote. If you lie, my neighbor would have been committing fraud, and a perjury, and he would have perhaps gone to jail. It's a felony to lie about on a voting form. And anyways.
Yeah, I think
sorry about that long answer, Brett.
No, I definitely get it. I was in a similar position when I moved back from Iowa when I took a radio job here in Minnesota in 2012. I moved just a few days before that election, and I'm curious as well if I would have been able to get a photo ID within like a 2 or 3 day period. I wonder if I would have been disenfranchised as well if we had that voter ID bill put in place back when I was voting. So I definitely get your passion on it, and I love your point too. I mean, who would honestly try to commit voter fraud just to get one or two additional people on the rolls? That would seem to me that the risks would definitely outweigh the benefits, because as you said, those are very serious charges to face if you actually do commit voter fraud. And it is kind of funny, the only examples we've kind of had of voter fraud over the past few years have generally been Republicans trying to prove that they can illegally vote, which is kind of ironic itself.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I think that happened in Iowa back in 2016, and there was another guy who did that in 2020 cycle. I don't know off the top of my head, but yeah, it is absolutely wild. Hey, do want to touch on another topic that you, of course, are very passionate, being that you are a former government teacher over at Eden Prairie High School. And this is something that I know Governor Walz, also a former teacher, would like to see. And that's some expanded summer school this year, since many of our students were very much left behind with the pandemic for the past year plus, where for a lot of students, it's just plain old tough to learn with distance learning. So what are your thoughts on trying to expand summer education this year? And do we have any hopes of that maybe getting some funding for that in the legislature here in the final few days?
Yeah, the Senate Republican version of that bill is $0. There's no money in the Senate version. The House version, I think, got tens of millions of dollars, and so does the Walz proposal. But the Senate's digging in their feet, the Republicans, and current as of right now, it's zero funding. And the thing that got me so excited, and Brett, as a hope you don't mind me divulging this, but full disclosure, Brett Johnson was a former student of mine.
Indeed.
One of my finest, I might add. But the thing, one of the things I got so excited about in Walz's proposal was that the money would go for community, what would they call it? Like, get out of the cells and bells, so to speak, of the building and get out into the community. And so there was, supplemental money that would go for the kids' learning, but the learning would take place at, parks and historical sites and places like that in the community. And there'd be like this partnership with local organizations to get the kids to pay for the bus. And, it's just this enrichment of community organizations working with local school districts got me so excited when I saw the Walz the proposal. And then, of course, like I said, I got discouraged when I saw that the Senate financed it with the big number zero. Where we're at on.
Yeah, a little tough to pay for education with $0 because that's not exactly free to do. So hopefully we get some movement on that, because education should not be a partisan issue when we have so many students that were deeply affected by the pandemic. I think we absolutely need some kind of program to get our students caught up and get back on track for this fall, where hopefully things are close to, if not normal, in terms of learning. So hopefully there can be some movement on there and we can make this a nonpartisan issue, because there's no way on earth education should be a partisan issue where there's a Republican side and a Democratic side.
Yeah, I know. You'd think, but
yeah.
The Walz plan, due north for our schools, I was so excited when he proposed it. Him and his wife are both former educators, and so they kind of get it, and then the House was almost fully on board on every single proposal, and then the Senate Republicans just zero and zero on the formula and zero on pre-K educational programs, summer school. It's been discouraging.
Final topic I want to go with you here, State Senator Steve Swaczynski, again representing areas of Eden Prairie, Minnetonka. I wanted to say Chaska, but it is a small portion of Chanhassen that's in your district, correct?
It's like, I don't even think anybody lives in it.
Oh,
it's
that's
all
right. Yeah.
Free. Yeah, so it's almost comical. It's like over by where the nursery is and the old Haskell's. I don't know what it's called now, but that part of Chanhassen.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated to be a fly on the wall back when they were drawing that district in 2011 or 2012, whenever it was, to figure out why they drew that district that way. But I'm sure you'll get some experience with that next year.
I'm sure this year they'll fix that and they'll end up being in Carver County.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, final topic I want to go through with you here, Steve, and that, of course, is that in the State House of Representatives today, they are set to legalize recreational cannabis, which would be the first time that has ever happened in one of our chambers at the legislature in Minnesota. A very significant move, especially since in this bill there are a lot of provisions that deal with racial justice, since people of color have disproportionately been targeted in terms of criminal infractions with legalizing marijuana. So just want to get your thoughts on that. In the Senate, it, of course, faces a much steeper hill, being that the majority leader, Paul Kozelka, is very much against it. But it's something where Minnesota has started to kind of fall behind in these regards, and with legalizing cannabis and the tax revenue it can bring into the state. So I just want to get your thoughts on this very historic legislation that's going to end up passing the House.
Yeah, today is a big deal. Ryan Winkler has worked, the House Majority Leader has worked tirelessly on this bill. I don't know of somebody that's worked as hard as he has on any bill in my few years here. I think they've heard it in 11 or 12 committees that it's passed out of in the House. And as you said, the full House is going to vote on it today. It's not going to have any hearing in the Senate, or it's not even going to get to the floor. Maybe there'll be an attempt, but it's not going to pass the Senate. I know that Waltz has said he favors it. I favor it. I was on the fence until maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, and I found out that my epiphany, if you will, was, let's just get it out of the hands of thugs and be able to regulate it. Because from my understanding, in Colorado and Oregon, this would be a couple of years ago now, states that were at the forefront of legalizing it, before that, they found out that people were having schizophrenic attacks from marijuana because they didn't know the strength of the dose because they bought it, you know, on the street in the black market. So if we can regulate it, get it out of hands of the thugs, so to speak, and put it in the hands of people that are responsible and regulate it, and I'm full on board. I don't want to legalize it to raise revenue, because my fear is if we tax it too much, the people will end up going back. The black market will sell it cheaper, and then that just didn't solve any problems. And So I don't know what the fine line is to not tax it too much, so that we make money and yet make money so that we can pay for the people that will need it after it does get legalized. Another concern I have, even though I support it, was I to any fledging inventors out in your audience, the person who invents impairment from marijuana breath test is going to make a lot of money. Because my understanding of marijuana, it can remain in your system long after you're impaired. So if a police officer pulls you over and tests you for marijuana, you will test positive, even though you had it a month ago. And so we got to figure out a way to make law enforcement be able to tell if you are impaired under the influence of marijuana while you're driving. But that invention needs to be invented. So let's if anybody's listening, there's your challenge.
Wow, that is a really good point. And I hope, if this eventually does get closer to becoming law, that is something that is addressed, because that's a very legitimate concern and something that I think does need to be ironed out. So glad you brought that up. That is definitely a key provision. Unfortunately, Steve, we are just about out of time. Again, this has been State Senator Steve Swazinski, representing a district that includes Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, and a very, very small portion of Chanhassen. Senator Swazinski, really appreciate the time today.
Always a pleasure. Anytime, Brett.